Go to God's throne once again for prayer. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of prayer, for the privilege of reading your word. And Lord, I pray you give me strength tonight and all of us, Lord, a better understanding of your word, particularly of the glory of prayer, the opportunity of prayer, that, Lord, we might become better prayer warriors for you in this day and age of prayerlessness. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Psalm 106, verses 1 through 5. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who can utter the mighty deeds of the Lord or declare all his praise? Blessed are they who observe justice, who do righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, when you show favor to your people. Help me when you save them, that I may look upon the prosperity of your chosen ones, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory with your inheritance. And then turning to the New Testament, the first four verses of Luke chapter 11. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. Well, here ends the reading of this portion of the Word of God. You may be seated as we work through a portion of this passage together. We have an abbreviated portion of the Lord's Prayer under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that Luke records. We turn back to Matthew chapter 6 and we find a more lengthy version there. I said a few weeks ago that in another sermon that the last verses of Luke chapter 10 and the first four verses of Luke chapter 11 point us in God's providence to some essentials in our Christian life. And we looked at verses 25 and following some weeks ago, basically the parable of the Good Samaritan and how Jesus there tells us to go and be a neighbor to those in need around us, even as he, the greatest Good Samaritan, saw our need and came and lived and died in our place on the cross of Calvary. Then we looked at the familiar account of Martha and Mary in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 and following. And there we saw the importance of being in the Word of God. And our Lord himself said, Martha, Martha, one thing is important. And Mary has chosen the better part. Sit at the feet of Jesus. And now as we come to chapter 11 and the first four verses here, we see here the importance of prayer. The disciples, after Jesus had finished praying in a certain place, as Luke records here, they came to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And he does so by giving them what we know as the Lord's Prayer. Have you ever thought about how the Lord's Prayer is, in some ways, as commentators point out, connected back to the Ten Commandments? You look at Our Father here, or the way the prayer opens with Our Father, who art in heaven, and we see there the first two commandments covered. We're to have no other gods before him, nor make any graven images, because God is so far beyond us. And the third commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in thy God in vain. And what do we find as the second petition of the Lord's Prayer? Hallowed be your name. Lord, I don't want to take your name in vain. I want to hallow it. I want to make it holy. I want to make it separate and where it belongs. Treat it reverently and holy. Your kingdom come. We announce every Lord's Day by our coming here to worship that we're under a different king than this world would have us to have. And he calls us to worship on the Lord's Day. And we want to set that day aside because we are under his lordship, not the world's. And we announce that by our attendance. And then, the fifth commandment. Honor those in authority over you. And what do we have with the petitions in the Lord's Prayer? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are under God's authority. We're not self-autonomous. We want to live accordingly, obediently unto God. Give us this day our daily bread. What happens if we don't eat? We die, don't we? And that takes us right to the importance of the sixth commandment. Thou shalt not kill, the importance of life. And at least those six commandments, I think, are clearly covered here in these petitions. And then, of course, the Lord Jesus, in teaching the commandments, moved on to forgive us our sins and lead us not into temptations. And that really covers all of them. But it's fascinating to think about the link between these two. But our purpose tonight, and forgive me if I've gone on this trail too long, but our purpose tonight is to step more to the general subject of prayer. And we want to do that under two headings. First of all, we want to see here an amazing request and an approachable Father. An amazing request, an approachable Father. So first of all, we want to look at the amazing request. You might say, well, Byron, I don't see any amazing request here. But let's go back and just look at this text. After Christ had finished praying one time, his disciples came to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray." To me, that is an amazing request. Who are we we should have access to the throne room of God to communicate with Him who made us, Him who redeemed us. Isaiah 40, verse 15 says that the nations are like a drop in the bucket before God. That's how great God is. Another place we read that you and I are like grasshoppers. You ever think of that, young people? When you see a grasshopper? God is so great that that little grasshopper that I think, don't think that much about. That's what I'm like compared to God's greatness. And yet even though this God to whom nations are but a drop in the bucket, whether it be the United States or Russia or whatever nation it is, they are but a drop in the bucket because God is so great. Yet we can pray to Him. We can come to His throne of grace. We grasshoppers can go. We're even called to go and pray to our Father in heaven. We who are sinners, who deserve hell. And on top of that, it's an amazing request because we cannot do that on our own. We are born in sin, dead in trespasses, hating God. And yet that very God who called us to pray unto Him is the very God who so loved us, so loved Jew and Gentile, that He sent His Son to come to this earth to suffer and die for sinners like us, and make us alive through the Holy Spirit, that we might worship Him as we heard this morning in Sunday school, and pray unto Him. An amazing request that these disciples made, who were once enemies of God, now come and say, Lord, teach us to pray to the Father in heaven. And what an example Jesus set. We saw back some time ago, I think I made reference to this, that 951 is the basic 951 basic hinge point in the book of Luke, because in Luke chapter 951 we begin the second half of the book as He set His face to go to Jerusalem and there to live and die in our place. And in the midst of that, Jesus used time after time after time. When the cross was coming nearer to Him and weighing upon His mind and soul, He used opportunity after opportunity to teach His disciples. And here, He takes time to teach them to pray. But you might say, well, Byron, why pray? God's sovereign. He's going to do what He wants to do, what He will do, and that's true. But it's, brothers and sisters, it's because God is sovereign that it should move us to pray. I want to spend just a couple of minutes, or shortly more than that, pointing out why we should pray. And the first thing we want to point out is that God commands us to pray. This would be enough no matter what other reasons, or if there were any other reasons. Notice what he says in verse 2. And he said to them, when you pray, say. Not if you want to pray, not if you take a mind to pray, but you see, prayer should be such a regular part of our lives as individuals, as families. Jesus says here, when you pray, say. Not that we have to say these exact words, but our prayer requests flow out from these basic petitions that he lists there. And we find elsewhere in Scripture, 1 Timothy 2:1, for example, 1 Timothy 2:8, where, and we could list many other passages, where we are commanded to pray. Paul writes in 1 Timothy 2:8, I desire then that in every place men should pray. So God calls us to prayer. But secondly, notice the emphasis of prayer within the Trinity. Jesus prays for us. You recall what happened with Peter, proud Peter. He would rather die than desert Christ. But in Luke chapter 22, verse 32, we read these words of Christ to Peter. Right before his denial of Christ three times. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith not fail. Why did Peter repent? Jesus prayed for him. How many times has God given you repentance for your sins? You were headlong into sin, and you were convicted. And you fled back to the cross, and you got forgiveness there. It wasn't of your own willpower, brothers and sisters. It's because you have a Savior that is praying for you. We have an advocate with the Father. Christ not only came to die for sinners, he continues to pray for those redeemed sinners as we return to the vomit of sin time and time again because of our own weakness. Christ prays for us, but the Holy Spirit prays for us as well. We read in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Have you ever had an arrow of sad providence stick you to the depth of your being? You're so overwhelmed, you don't really know how to pray. It's so unexpected. What can I do? The Holy Spirit is interceding for us, whether we realize it or not, with groanings too deep for words. Prayer is important in our lives because it's important in the Trinity. God does not need, did not create us that because he was lonely. He had complete and plenty of fellowship within the Trinity itself. He created us for his own glory, and he desires that we come to him in prayer. We live in an autonomous age. An age in which we don't need anything. And living in that type of surrounding and culture, it should spur us all the more to prayer. Because prayer humbles us. Maybe that's one reason we don't see prayer so much in our own day. It can be an affront to us that we have to ask God for help. We've got our own individuality, don't we? And we can make it on our own, but no, we can't. Prayer is a reminder that we can't and that we need to humble ourselves before the living God, the God who made heaven and earth. Prayer replaces worry. Paul writes in Philippians 4:6 from a jail cell, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Do you worry? I have a huge problem with worry. I fight it almost every day. I'm trying to learn. So every time I start to worry, to go to God in prayer. I try to remember that God, the sovereign God of the universe, is not worried about anything. So why should I be? It's all under his control. And the reason I worry is because I want to be God. I want to fix things, and I have to repent of that. I'm not saying that's the reason you worry, if you do worry. I'm just opening my heart to you. We have a sovereign God, and he calls us to fight those anxieties by spending that time, that energy that gets chewed up in worry and anxiety, by coming before the throne of God, bought by the shed blood of Jesus, and pray. Another reason we pray is because God gives us an opportunity to express our thanks to God. These opening verses of Psalm 106 we read just a minute ago are wonderful verses of praise to God for his great deeds, for what God had done in the person's own life. Maybe you're like me at times. I am quick to go with this request and that request to God. Sadly, I'm not as quick to go with thanksgiving to that God for that request when he gives an answer to it. What an encouragement it would be to the saints at prayer meeting on Wednesday night as we bring requests before God to come back in future weeks and in the time of praise that we have at the beginning of prayer to say, when God's answered that prayer that you had a request of, how God answered that prayer a week ago, 2 weeks ago, what an encouragement that would be for us to continue to pray. Another way of humbling ourselves before God, because these answers come from the hand of God. And then secondly, after this amazing request, We want to see, secondly, that we have an approachable Father to whom we can go. Jesus says, when you pray, say, Father. Now, Luke has it, our Father who art in heaven. We only want to look at briefly at those few words. First of all, we notice that prayer sends us outside of ourselves. We live in a day when the world tells us our focus is to be inward. Find the real you within you. Think of yourself and yourself only. But the Word of God says no. The first words of the Lord's Prayer here say no. Turn outward. Our Father, which art in heaven. And that's really outward focused on two separate fronts, isn't it? First of all, we're not praying to our inner self. We're praying to our Father who is far beyond us and above us and yet wants to hear our prayers. And with the word our, we're reminded that there are many other redeemed saints like us that are before God's throne of grace, that have needs that we can bring before God besides just our needs. So really those first words point us to the summary of the Ten Commandments, to God. To love him above all and to love our neighbor as ourselves as we bring their request to our God who has redeemed us by the blood of the Lamb. Well, what type of Father is this one who calls himself Father, who has inspired his word here by giving us Father as how we can address him? Now, surely we can address him with our gracious God and any number of terms like that of respect. But I just mentioned that because the word Father may be a turnoff for some of you in regard to prayer. Because I don't know what sort of father you had growing up. And that may be a stickler to you. Because father denotes all sorts of negative connotations. And so as we close tonight, I want us to just look at just a few characteristics of our Father, of our Redeemer, the one who redeemed us to himself. And we read in John chapter 1, verse 12, that all who did receive this Redeemer, believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That's why we can call him Father, because we've been adopted into his family. But what kind of father is this? Well, we need to go back in Scripture, and we need to just list a few. We don't have time to dig very deep in this. But what type of father is he? Well, first of all, he's a compassionate God. We already know he's a God who listens. He's a father who listens. Fathers, do you listen to your children? Do you take time? Not that they subsume your whole life, but do you take time to listen to your children, to their stories of the day, to their questions, to their requests, to their jokes? Do you take time? The very fact that God calls us to pray and to Him reminds us we have a listening Father. And we have a Father who shows great compassion. Never tires of showing compassion. Notice this verse from, or these two verses from Psalm 103, verses 13 and 14. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are but dust. And even though I'm but a pile of dust, that's what you are too. He listens to us. He knows what we're like. And he shows you and you and you and me compassion. That's the Father we pray to. That's the Father that should make us want to come to him, just that very name, and pray to him. He's a provider. We read in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 and 26. Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of much more value than they? And of course you are, because we've been redeemed. He will provide our every need. That's the Father we're to call upon with our needs. That's the Father we're to call upon with others' needs. That's the one we're to go to with the needs of the lost, particularly their need of salvation. He hears. And who knows, but before the foundation of the world, but what he saved those individuals that right now are unsaved. And he will in time and space save them like he did us. We go to him in prayer. He cares for us. In Peter we read, we cast all of our cares upon him because he cares for you. There is again that call to prayer. Cast your cares, be they big or small, cast them on Christ. Cast them on the Father through Christ. Because he cares for you. Covenant youth, he cares for you. Cast your cares in prayer upon the Father. Well, the Father chastises those he loves. And we have to remember that too. And our Father chastises us in the midst of disobedience. And yes, we go to a Father who will chastise us when we get out of line and refuse to listen. Our lives are that important to him. Our witness is that important to him. Our growth is that important to him. He chastises us. He teaches us. And that's why we tie this in with the Word of God, as we go to the Word of God, to that one thing that is important daily. We have a Father. So we read his word. He will teach us through the Holy Spirit to give us a better understanding of his word. None of us fathers are perfect. I've thought many a time, well, it would be great to go back and be a father again. Maybe I'd do a lot, hopefully I'd do a lot better job than I did the first time. Maybe some of you fathers here are thinking the same thing. I'm not trying to dump on anyone here because there are no perfect fathers on this earth. But what I'm trying to set forth is that if you had a father that was on the opposite scale from what he should have been, that's not the father that we pray to here. We pray to a father who will listen, who's compassionate, who is a provider, who teaches us, who cares for us, who will chastise us because he loves us. That's a father we should run to. That's a father that this name here addresses. Oh, what a joy to cry out, "Our Father who art in heaven." But do you know that Father? Do you know him savingly? Do you have a heart knowledge of him? Have you been convicted of your sins and turned from them, and you want to serve Christ alone? Or are you still lost in your sins, without hope saving this world because you don't have Jesus, without hope on the day of judgment because you don't have the blood of Christ covering you? Is this you? Thomas Watson, in his commentary on the Lord's Prayer, says that if this is your case, unsaved friend here, if you're in this midst and you're unsaved or are listening online, that all you can pray out to is, "Our Father who art in hell." Because your father is Satan. So I invite you tonight to come to Christ. Come to him through a broken heart. We've already seen what type of God he is. He will not turn away broken-hearted sinners who hate their sin and want the covering of Christ's blood. Look to Christ in his finished work on the cross, and flee to that Father who calls us to pray unto him and confess those sins and rest in Christ alone for your salvation. He will not fail you, and he's fully sufficient for your every need. Let's pray. Oh, our Father in heaven, we're not the prayer warriors that we should be, but we're the prayer warriors we are by your grace. Father, may this week be a week of humbling ourselves before you. Be willing, Lord, to pray. Coming to you in faith, knowing not how you will answer. Loving you so much, depending on you so much, that we want your will more than ours to be done. Direct our thoughts in prayer. Bring things to our minds that we need to pray for as individuals, as family. And glorify your name in our lives and grow us as Christians through our prayer lives and dependence upon you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.